Turn to Mark, chapter 4. The title of the message is Growing in Grace. Growing in Grace. The Word of God teaches us that there is a growth in grace and of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we do grow in grace, and if you're born of God, you will. If you're alive, you'll grow. You grow in grace, it will be through knowing Christ, the knowledge of Christ, not just knowing some facts. Not just knowing some facts, but to know Him. As Paul said, oh, that I might know Him. It's not a knowledge of facts. It's a relationship. It's like, you know, I know my wife better now after almost 37 years. I'll mess that up. I'll realize how much I know. But after about 37 years, I know her better than I did 37 years ago. And as we grow older in Christ and we know more of Him, we grow in grace. You see more of that graciousness, that kindness, that joy that is the fruit of the Spirit. You see more of it in a believer as they grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me say just a few words before we deal with this, about the kingdom of God. As I was working on this, it just struck me that the kingdom of God is a very real kingdom. It is a very real kingdom. You know, we just came through an election and people divided up and drew lines in the sand and, you know, hot debates. And I thought, you know, the kingdom of God is every bit as real as this one. And we ought to be just as hot for that one. We ought, now listen, no. Let me say this over. More so. We need to be far more on fire, heated up over the kingdom of God than the kingdom of this world. This is a kingdom of darkness. It doesn't matter what nation you talk about. Outside of Christ, it's a kingdom of darkness. The whole world lies in wickedness, and that includes every nation on this earth, every one of them. But God's kingdom is a real kingdom. Just because it cannot be seen with a physical eye does not mean it's not real. There's a lot of things I haven't seen that's real. A lot. In Luke 17:20, it says this, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. It's not like you're going to see a tidal wave coming and it's the kingdom of God. No, the kingdom of God is already here. It's the church. You know the kingdom of God is among you when you have the gospel preached to you. When the gospel is preached to you, the kingdom of God is among you. And we need to be more mindful. And think about this. We need to be more mindful of God's kingdom, which is an everlasting kingdom, than this kingdom of men. And then secondly, it is a spiritual kingdom. In Luke 17:21, the Lord said, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Christ in you. He's the king of that kingdom. Or it can be translated like this. The kingdom of God is with you, among us. And it is. But it's also within you. It's a spiritual kingdom. God is spirit. And His kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. And then the kingdom of God is a kingdom of righteousness. Oh, isn't that, that's a, as I've gotten older, that's good news. You turn the news on, do you hear righteousness? Do you hear things that are right and things that are joyous? And is that what we heard this last week or two? We've gotten a taste once again, every now and then, every once in a while. God allows a man, or a man or woman, but in this case a man, He allows a man to do something tragic, awful, to remind us, this is you by nature. It's us. It's us. And every once in a while, God withdraws His hand and allows it to happen. And men will say, why this, why that? It's a kingdom of darkness that we live in. And you, the believer, are the light of the world. It's the only light in this world. It's the church. But God's kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness. There'll never be any bad news in His kingdom. You know, when this is all over with, and all sin has been put away, everything's been dealt with, everything's put away, all enemies been put under His feet, there'll never be one message of bad news. You'll never hear one thing about, did you hear what they did? Did you see what happened? If we do, it'll be, if we say that, it'll be concerning the glory of Christ. It'll be concerning something good. Something good. And then the kingdom of God is made up of sinners saved by grace. That's what it's made up of. It's not made up of a bunch of good people. It's made up of a bunch of people whom God has saved from their sins. It is made up of sinners redeemed by the blood of Christ and regenerated by the Spirit of God and the elect angels. That's the kingdom of God. It's a very real kingdom. And everyone who believes the gospel, every one of you here who believe the gospel, you make up a part of that kingdom. And that's the kingdom we ought to be most concerned about, that kingdom. Now, let's get to the parable here. In verse 26, and He said, the Lord said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Now you'll notice, before this parable here, He gave the parable of the sower. And the last thing He ended with was the good ground. But now that good ground needs to be sowed, doesn't it? That good ground is not going to produce fruit of itself. It's not saying, well, it's good ground, it's going to... No, it won't. I tell you what you do, you go plow a garden. Go fertilize the garden. Clean it all up. Take the rocks out of it. And see what it produces. I'll tell you what it'll produce. Weeds. It'll produce weeds. If it's not sown. Now, if you sow corn, you sow corn in it. You take care of it, you sow corn in it, guess what it's going to produce? Corn. First of all, there has to be a sower. And God is a God of means. And He uses men in casting the seed. What I'm doing, what you did this morning, Frank, what you teacher did in the Bible class, what I'm doing right now, I'm casting the seed. That's all I'm doing. That's all I'm doing, is casting the seed. You know, this earth, if you leave it alone, what will it bring forth? Thorns and thistles. Won't it? Weeds will take over. If you do not take care of a garden, weeds take it over, don't they? They'll take it over and choke out the fruit that you planted in it. If there's to be corn, a farmer must cast the seed. He must sow the corn. If there's to be an experience of grace in the soul, there is the preaching of the gospel. There is the casting of the seed. But God must plant it in the heart. The new heart, not that old heart. There's got to be creation of a new heart, which is the good ground, and that seed is cast into that good ground. And God must give the increase. He must give the increase. Even though I may be standing here casting it, sowing, I'm not the one who can make it live. I'm not the one who can give it increase. All I can do is, what does a farmer do with the seed? Does he create the seed? No. He just takes it right with his hand and he just tosses it out there. Just tosses it out there. And it grows. It grows. Mysteriously, it grows. He knows not how. Paul said this, one plant and another water, but God giveth the increase. The work is of God. Secondly, I've only got 4 points. This is the second one. The work of grace in the heart is mysterious. It is mysterious now. It says in verse 27, and should sleep. The farmer sleeps. The preacher sleeps. He goes home, he sleeps. He rises night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knows not how. What a mystery. What a mystery there is in that. The preacher is not to be anxious, first of all, about the outcome. You know, religion puts so much pressure on their preachers to produce results. That's why they go through all these methods, you know. They'll show movies on burning hell, scare people into making a profession, and they're trying to get results. I'm not trying to get results. I'm just casting the seed. The result is in God's hands. It's in His hands. It's not in mine. You know how easy that makes it for me? I mean, preaching itself is not easy, but I tell you, trying to convince a bunch of rebels to love someone they hate, someone whose mind it says it's enmity with God, for me to try to turn that around, you kidding? It'd be better off to go down and stop the high river than to do that. But God can do it. God can take a rebel and turn him into a lover of Christ. God can do that. He did it with me. He did it with many of you. He can do that. Oh, he knows not how. He knows not how. The preacher is not to be anxious about the outcome. It's of God. All the worrying in the world has never, ever made one grain of corn grow up, has it? You worry, you wring your hands. It's not going to do anything. It's not going to do anything at all. It won't accomplish anything. And it won't save a sinner either. It will not save a sinner. When the farmer plants his corn, he goes home and goes about his business. Just as I'm preaching to you right now, I pray the Lord bless it, because I know that the blessing, the increase, is of God. But I'm not going to go home and be anxious and worry whether this is going to make it or not, or whether this... No, it's in His hands. It's in His hands. I can do nothing. I can do nothing. No more than the farmer can do that. He just plants it. What are you going to do? Go out there and dig it up every day and see if it's doing anything? If you do, you'll mess it up. Just put the dirt over it and let it do its process. Preach the gospel and let the process. Whatever God's process is with it, that's what it is. We can do nothing. It's of God. Whatever takes place under the dirt when you bury that grain is mysterious. You know why it's mysterious? Because you and I don't have anything to do with it. It's of God. It's of God. How the grain of corn must die in order to produce more corn is mysterious. But Christ said He had to die. He gave that example. He said, I must die. Just like that grain of corn must die if there's to be fruit, if there's to be much fruit like it. In the same manner, I must die if there's to be many sons of glory like me. That's what He said. Oh, how mysterious is the work of grace. How much more mysterious is that work of grace in the soul. How one listens to the gospel. I'm read, we've got God's Word, preaching the gospel. And all of a sudden, there's an interest. It's like you know, you plant the seed in the garden, and you go out the next day or the next week, and it's still just bare. And then you go out one morning, and there's a little old plant just sticking up out of that dirt. How that plant pushed its way through that dirt is mysterious. I mean, think of that. The strength of that plant having to come up through that dirt that's buried on top of it. How mysterious is it that a person comes here? It may be here, these children, been taught the gospel. And one day they've got an interest. I mean, I don't know when that seed was sown, when it really sown. But one day they have an interest. One day they have a real conviction of sin. One day they're really concerned about their soul. And one day they believe on Christ. They can't help but believe on Christ. Did you make yourself believe on Christ? I didn't. I couldn't help it. I heard the preaching of the gospel and I said, that's the truth. That's the truth. I'd have to lie if I said I didn't believe it. It produces life, faith, repentance. And yet the person sitting beside of you, no interest at all. No interest whatsoever. That's a mystery, isn't it? It's a mystery. It's a mystery because it's a work of God and not of men. And it goes on the inside. It takes place on the inside. You can't see. You see, like that seed planted in the ground, it's all that's going on is underneath the dirt. You can't see it. You can't see that mystery of life, that germination and all that's going on there, no more than you can see what's going on in a man's heart. But Christ does, because he's the one making it go on. He's the one producing it. Thirdly, the work of grace manifests itself gradually. Gradually. For the earth, in verse 28, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, that's how it happens. Then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear. When the grain of corn is planted, you do not go out the next day, and there's a full mature stalk of corn ready to eat. It took months, didn't it? It took rain. It took sunshine. It took fertilizer. It took plowing. It took weeding. It took all this. And all of a sudden, here's this little old shoot coming up. Little old shoot. Even so, grace manifests itself in the heart gradually. That's what he's saying. Gradually. We grow in grace gradually. We start out as babes in Christ, is what it tells us over in 1 John. We start out as babes in Christ. We grow to be young men and women in Christ. And then old men and women in Christ. There's some young men and women in Christ in here. Babes. And there's some old men and women in Christ in here. This is a good reason to be slow to judge a man's relationship with God, to be patient with one another, because it is gradual. It is gradual. Just like we take these children, we send them to school. Like we went to school. You start out in kindergarten, first grade, and you go right on up till you graduate. Except in this one, you don't really graduate, do we? We just keep on growing. Keep on growing. That's what it says in 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in it. Seek to grow in it. seek to grow in. And then fourthly, God knows when to harvest His fruit. God knows when to harvest His fruit. The farmer does not go out and pick the corn when it's green. It wouldn't be any good, would it? He knows when the harvest time has come. And He knows that there's this period of time that this fruit that He planted months earlier is ready and ripe for the picking. It's ripe. Some of God's children are ripe sooner than others. We think, why did he or she die so young? You know why? The Lord just gave it to us. They're ripe. They're ready. That's why He took them. They were ripe. There's no mistakes with God. No mistakes with God whatsoever. When the Lord takes one of His own, whether that person be young or old, He was ripe. And He just put in the sickle. And He took that fruit home. Took it home. Now, in closing, what do we see here? What do we learn? First, that God uses men to cast the seed. What I'm doing is extremely important. It's the most important thing that I'll ever do in my life. It's the most important thing that anyone will ever do in this life, is casting the seed. Because this life's going to be over with in a short while. Casting the seed. Secondly, grace is a work of God in the heart. It's a work of God. It is a mysterious work, thirdly. It's a mysterious work. And fourthly, it grows in stages. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. It grows in stages. And fifthly, when the believer is ripe, mature, ready, God will take him or her home. That's what He's saying. I'll take them home when they're ripe. Some die younger. They ripe a lot earlier. And what God's purpose for them in this life was accomplished. And He says, now it's time for this one to come home. Growing in grace. I pray that we do more of it. Oh, that we do more of it.